Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Pearls on Air podcast. My name is Andre Breeson, and today we're launching something that we feel is very important to me as a person, as a human being, but also important to my brothers as well. We're here to talk about some of the things that we feel are important, not only to each other, but to other people. Things that are important to Philly. Things that need to be talked about. Some things that are probably not being mentioned enough. But also talk about things that we like sports, movies, action, adventure. Talk about politics, relationships, marriage, religion, pretty much any subject under the sun, you know, from God knows what. But we will always do it from a male perspective, from a good perspective, positive perspective, you know, but also we want to make sure that we keep it real, but also from a Philly perspective as well. With that said, we're going to begin this podcast. This is our first one, so we're working through a lot of different things, so bear with us. But we promise that this will just get better as we go along. So relax, enjoy the ride, and enjoy the Brewers on Air podcast.
I think our purpose is just to basically, like, you know, piggyback off you, you know, off you more so, like, give a perspective of all different current events and different topics that we discuss from a Philly standpoint. Like, a lot of us, you know, we pay attention to what's going on, but some of us don't care, and a lot of us do care, because it does impact not only our culture, but it also impacts our background, it impacts our neighborhoods, and it just impacts overall.
All right, so Dan.
Yeah.
Mr. Tampa Bay.
Say it again.
On purpose.
Our purpose is to make sure that, you know, we just provide a different perspective from a bunch of different age brackets, because, you know, being so, I am the youngest out of all of us. You know, everybody might have their own different thing, viewpoints on things, and especially being younger, I see things a little different. But our purpose is, like I said, to give a different perspective. Be innovative, be fresh, be new, and not really worry about, you know, trying to be like everybody else, but set our own sail, our own boat, where we're not looking, being like everybody else's right. Podcast.
Because we don't want to hear a bunch of old men complaining about stuff.
Yeah, we ain't got
at all, because that'll get on my nerves.
There you go. Dave, you got the floor.
All right. just to echo, you know, everything which y'all said was true, you know, but just to give our, just to basically tell our story. Each one of us is unique. We all have a different story to tell. But coming from mostly the same area, even though we have different age groups, being that you're the youngest, Dan, like you said. But anyway, being that, like, we have different age groups, we give a different perspective and a different spin, but tell our story, and hopefully it will help and inspire some people to get better and to get, you know, a better perspective to help them. So our perspective is just to be ourselves, as well as tell our story, and just so we can help people and educate people, and hopefully somebody can get something out of it.
That is so true. Mm-hmm. Authenticity is important. Yep. All right, so let's see. What's on the menu today? Usually, you know, we would like to try to start off with something exciting, something cool, but instead, you know, we got Trump. So, I'm not sure if you guys saw what I saw on that stage, but I saw, you know, two grumpy old men arguing, complaining, and whining. And it was not exciting. But for some strange reason, these are our choices. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, I feel like we're just doomed, actually, at this point. With just watching it, it was just like, nobody else wants to run. Nobody wants to step up to the plate to try to take us, you know, take us there. Because, like you said, it was just like grumpy old men arguing with each other. And I'm like, come on now. Like, we're here to debate about different things. Y'all are literally just taking personal shots at each other. And it's just like, all right, y'all can go to the Waffle House like y'all, like Biden did. And y'all can fight there. You know, they'll let you have a free fall right in Waffle House. So, you know, just, yeah. It's just sad that, you know, these are the only two candidates that we have. Like, and Biden's not a bad president, but it's just like, he's old. And some stuff is just like, you know, he can't be out here just trying to, he's just saying anything. Sometimes I watch his interviews or whatnot, he's just saying whatever. And it's like, bro, what are we talking about? You know, and Trump is just saying whatever as well. But, you know, he's getting people riled up for the wrong reasons.
He's spending a lot of time just pointing fingers and blaming everyone else for things that he did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. And on top of that, like, I really didn't get a chance to watch the video. I'm going to be honest with you. I fell asleep on it. Let's be honest. Because, again, two grumpy old men are shooting each other. However, let's put it in better perspective. Trump tried to make it sound like he was a better president, where the moderators were actually giving him, was basically fact-checking him. So he basically lied. Then on top of that, we got a person that got, what, 34 counts of felony? A 34-count felony on his record? And talking about running for president? Like, let's be 100. I think I talked with this with other people. Like, it's the lesser of two evils. Okay, nobody really wants Trump in office, but Biden is too old. So what are you going to do? I mean, I got to agree with Dan. Nobody wanted to step up. Nobody wanted to say, hey, look, I'm going to go ahead and just take the reins. I mean, okay, Carmella, I mean, you know, our vice president, she cool, but I don't understand why she didn't run again.
She can't run because she's vice president, and she'll be vice president again.
Right, but here's the thing. When she was running beforehand, she dropped out, I guess, because, you know, Trump just got a lot of stuff from a lot of people and pretty much started noticing lately a lot of different figures like Mitt Romney and other lawmakers just been falling off the map. So I'm like, okay, what do you got on these people so that way, you know, because they're being hush hush and quite quiet. You feel me?
That's true. But I think the other thing that we have to consider as well is the fact that right now, you know, in the Democratic Party, you know, he is the president. And if he says that he's running, you know, they're going to fall in line and no one's going to run against him.
Yeah, but
now, the other thing is, who else is there?
Well, that's the thing. Like I was saying, I think a lot of them people got basically pushed back. But it just, that debate was just so, it was so sorrowful. It was like you said, it was like, these are our selections. And not only that, what made Biden so bad, he was just like, they asked him a question like, yeah, what about healthcare? And he just like, yeah, well, what I feel about healthcare is so important. And then, yeah, I think I ordered a number two at Wendy's. And he started going all over the place. He was like, what? That ain't got nothing to do. Then he started talking. I'm like, what? Like, yo, what the heck? They ask you about healthcare. You start going on about the birds trip. Yeah, and the birds trip pretty nice. So It made him look really bad. Like, it was like really bad.
Well, project here, okay? Let's be 110% when I'm gonna come with this, okay? When President Obama did his first debate against, I guess, Mitt Romney, I won't say John McCain, Mitt Romney, he bombed. Okay, granted, it was his anniversary.
But he really didn't look like that. He didn't look incompetent.
He wasn't that bad.
He wasn't that bad, but see, at the end of the day, just like other Democrats are saying, it's not this is the first debate. Yeah, he looked like we can have burned. Like, I don't know what.
Like somebody was controlled.
In the second debate, concerned about, because at the end of the day, if he really doesn't get home on all the different topics that they were talking about, healthcare, immigration, Ukraine, and everything, if he doesn't hit home with those things, you might as well forget it. Yeah, we're about to have Trump back in office.
He looked like if he had three hard coughs, he gone.
That's what heard with. I was in the military. His son was in the military. So we got to give him a little.
I don't have to give him grace because these are our leaders. I'm tired of giving people excuses. That's the thing. We got to stop making excuses for people. If these are people that are supposed to be our leaders, if these are people that are supposed to govern us, we got to stop making excuses for these people. These people are supposed to lead us, and that's why we in the trouble that we are now. And in general, not just presidency, but the leadership period in our cities and our churches and our organizations, a lot of them are falling and dropping the ball, and then we come up with these excuses. Oh, well, you know, he got 7 kids. Well, you know, he got this. Yeah, but you accept the responsibility to become these leaders. So it's time to, like, stop making these excuses. I'm not trying to say nobody is perfect, but at the same time, accountability, yes. You need to accept accountability for these things.
I agree.
I don't know what happened. I see an M on there.
What the
heck? What happened?
Oh, I don't know. I see an M.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong. Outstanding. That was really, 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 really important, though, because, again, you know, when we were seeing the beginning way back in 2016, you know, even 2020, there were a lot of really, really, really good Democratic options. And right now, it just seems like they're all gone. You know, Kamala, you know, she got the vice president spot, and the vice president normally really doesn't do much. But, you know, even if Biden decided to step aside, has Kamala Harris done enough to warrant her actually taking this spot?
You know, Vice President Harris, man, like, her approval rating kind of, like, sucking, per se. Not too many people are happy with her, for whatever reason, I don't know. But, I mean, she would probably have been a good presidential candidate had she stayed in the race.
Well, I think she's kind of forced out. That's kind of like what Dre said. When a president steps up and say, like, he's running again, it pretty much, like, they pretty much, like, go with the strongest, like to them, they, like, the president, you know, run again. You got back down, pretty much. It's like, you got back down, the president running again. Not unless you go against the grain and be like, no.
Yeah, well, see, let's put it this way. At the end of the day, the Democratic Party wanted somebody that was strong enough to go and beat you. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Hillary let us down, technically. But in the same given token, they're like, okay, the only option we had was Biden. Because let's face it, I don't think there was a strong Democratic candidate out here that would have went against Trump and won, other than Barack Obama, if he would have ran for a third term.
Well, they had what's his name? Bernie. They had Bernie, who was getting a lot of strong Even though he was old, he was still spunky.
Bernie was not strong enough.
He actually had a lot of attention.
Right. Yeah, he had a lot.
And he was really making a lot of really good valid points. The problem, I think the problem was, is that it just, I don't know, for some reason, he wasn't reaching like the younger crowds. I mean, mind you,
they booted him for
his. None of the candidates now are reaching the younger crowds. I'm telling you, I am really at the point where I'm like almost none of the above. I mean, I'm still going to vote for, you know, Biden, but I'm really thinking, you know, none of the above is like a.
I'm about to build a city on another planet.
Yeah.
Man. Just like
a Tampa Bay. Chuck Norris is in the White House. They're going to have to paint it yellow. Speaking of yellow, you know, there's something important that I think that we should discuss. Now, I know the original plan was to go in on Diddy and him diddling and all the craziness for Diddy. But you know what, though? Let's not even go there. Since we're on the topic of yellow, let's go there. LeBron James and his son playing for the Lakers. How does that happen? And is it a good thing or a bad thing? Now, go ahead. I'm going to let you guys go, and I'm going to give you my take on it.
Well, see, there has been a father-son on the same team. Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. back in the day when they was playing, I think, with Seattle. I mean, yeah, it happens. You know, I got to ask the same question. Like, did LeBron pull some strings?
That was only to get more money, LeBron though.
LeBron opt out of his deal so he can eat.
Yeah.
True. But, I mean, my question is Bronny just as good as LeBron?
Well, we know that he's not as good as LeBron. But...
He's not even close to him. He hasn't even done anything that LeBron did.
We don't know that. Yeah. What we do know is that he's LeBron's son. You know, so there is some possibility that he may well do as well or exceed, you know, what his father can do. But it's not a guarantee. The other thing is the fact that, you know, he is a really good athlete. You know, and we're giving athletes shots all the time. However, this one particular athlete just happens to be LeBron James' son.
And that's exactly why he got drafted, because he's LeBron James'
now,
son.
Now, I do want to just say something real quick, because I know you mentioned Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. And I'm telling you, back when I was really following baseball and watching, you know, them on the, you know, Cincinnati Reds and also Mariners, and, you know, I followed both of them in their careers. And Ken Griffey Jr., you know, he did not get the same, I would say, treatment, you know, far as what they did, you know, to get him the way he is. But I think that everyone respected the fact that, you know, this man, you know, his father is on the team, so, you know, let's let him play, you know. And in baseball, I mean, there's, you know, a ton of, you know, outfielders that could have been chosen, you know, other than Ken Griffey Jr., but, you know, they had enough, and they were like, okay, you know, we have enough spots, let's get this one guy, and he just turned out to be a beast.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas LeBron James' son, you know, he plays, you know, and he's not yet at that level where he's playing just like his father was back at his age, but that's still his son. And I think that a lot of things were done so that he could play with his father.
True. I can admit that. I mean, again, look at the last name. That says it all.
What does it say?
You know what I mean? Now, again, we have to see what Bronny does in a game to actually you know, agree with what you just said. I mean, again, you're right. Ken Griffey did not get no respect. But once he came up from the minors, to when they played in Seattle, because they was playing in Seattle, and yes, once Griffey Sr. retired, Griffey Jr. just took the spotlight. And like you said, he was a monster. Like, let's be real. He was just, his play was crazy.
I don't think we're talking about the same thing, though.
It's not quite the same. You know, there's, I think it's different circumstances behind both. I think, like I said, there's a lot more to what happened with Bronny and LeBron, you know, than Griffey and Griffey. Now, honestly, I am a fan of the fact that he gets to play with his father. I think I like that. You know, the how is an issue, but I do like the fact that he's able to do that, you know, because what father would not want to do that? I think the politics of it and how it happened, because, I mean, there's reports that his agent was going telling teams, you know, do not pick him, do not pick him, do not pick him. So, yeah, you know, where we are not signing if we pick him. You know, this is for the Lakers, you know. And the thing is, I kind of couldn't believe that happened, you know. Because people might have just said, you know what, Bronny's a good guy. I want to get Bronny. But, you know, hey, the Lakers wanted to do something special for LeBron, which they were able to do. And that's what they did.
Let's just see what the season holds.
Yeah.
I'm being serious. Let's see what the season. If LeBron goes back to LA, he gets to play with his son. And let's see if
with NBA. If somebody play creative teams, I just don't like that.
Yeah. Cause there was once a time where, you know, teams were built, you know, I would say, like, traditionally, where you either build your talent or you see a free agent, you know, and you go out and get that free agent, where now you can kind of pick and choose and manipulate the system to get whatever you want.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not used to stars
joining up.
Don't like each other, joining teams and all that just to get a ring. That was crazy,
I think he said his other son.
Okay, so I'll do that.
LeBron, that was LeBron's contract. I think like 2027. His other son, I think, is he can be drafted in 2026. So he get possibly play both his sons on the team.
And
Echo.
Tell him I want a Coke and some fries as well.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we he's taking orders and everything. So. on the real, you know, I think one of the issues that this kind of brings up that a lot of people are talking about is nepotism, you know. Is it nepotism? And I think... Honestly, I don't want to say that it's nepotism because it's not necessarily LeBron hiring, you know, his son. The team is hiring his son. You know, is he involved in it? You know, I think that his decision weighs heavily, you know, or his word weighs heavily, you know, his name weighs heavily so that they can make that happen for him. But I don't want to go out and say that it's nepotism, but even if it was, you know, it's like, wouldn't you want to also make sure that, you know, you provide some of the best opportunities for your sons?
I mean, if I'm looking at it from LeBron's view, then I can see it that way. But if I'm looking at how we looking at it, I'm like, it's a tragedy. It's a catastrophe. I mean, that's the realness of it. If I'm looking at it through LeBron's eyes, yeah, it's a dream come true. But if I'm looking at it how outside eyes, I'm like, man, this is crap. This is bull crap. Like, this is.
Because one thing that you do have to consider is the fact that draft pick could have been someone else. And that person could have actually really benefited from having that opportunity. And it's a possibility that they didn't get picked, or they didn't go to the team that could have benefited them. You know, it's like we'll never know that. But, you know, again, that's the drawback of, you know, what happened and, you know, the real life consequences. You know, Bronny could have went anywhere and have been successful, and no matter what number he went, but I think that he went way too early for his skill set. There was a lot of more talented people that could have went where he went.
Speaking of, is there everybody here a 76ers fan?
I think LeBron should. I think Bronny could have gone to college. Yes, I agree. But here's the thing.
Hold on, Frank. Dave was saying something. Let Dave finish his thought.
No, I was saying, was everybody a 76ers fan here? I was saying, I don't know. I got to check because, yo, you got Tampa Bay fan or something. No. What's your team? I can't hear you, Dan. You muted. Mavericks? All right.
Guess what, though? Y'all was on the couch watching the play. So it doesn't really matter.
Ramp it off.
Sorry. Can we add another episode? The Vikings? Yeah. Because y'all just a little losing. So I don't.
All right, I'll give you that. I don't know how you all over the place. First of all, you a Mariners fan. You a Tampa Bay fan. What's your baseball team?
In the Flyers.
Okay, that's the only thing he's a Philly fan of? Come on, bro.
I would rather watch paint dry before I become a Eagles fan.
Dang.
They just never caught my attention.
You know, that's all I'm gonna tell you.
I saw one from. They do that.
That's funny. That is so funny. But, you know, I know between myself and Dave, you know, it's like we've probably been, you know, Sixers fans, you know, and just never really changed, you know, because those are our teams. But no,
I'm a Sixers fan.
I'm gonna get to you because, you know, like I said, you've always been a Sixers fan as well, you know, and you've been more of a fanatic, you know, than a fan. I will say that. I think you've been more of a harder fan than, you know, I think we support, but we're not necessarily, you know, like fanatics again. And Dan, he's, you know, a fanatic about, you know, the Bucks, the Mavericks. But I think that, you know, since we are talking about Philly, I do want Dan to kind of lead off this next segment and to talk about, you know, some of our current Philadelphia issues, things that are going on in our hometown, you know, and it doesn't have to do anything to do with the Sixers, so you can feel comfortable talking about that.
There's a lot going on in the city. From the mayor, you know. There's a lot of essentially violence and stuff, and you know, people getting killed. Just a whole bunch of nonsense going on. But you know, all that we can do is really just kind of stay the course, try to keep everybody safe, you know, do what we got to do. But, you know, implementing a lot of these little rules, like you know, people cars being parked with tinted windows, you get $100 tickets. For what purpose? Hmm? I've seen people.
Are you kidding me?
Getting tickets already for it. So.
Luck got my exemption.
Don't make sense. Stupid.
Wow.
Yeah, but even with the violence,
I got my exemption.
It's getting ridiculous, man. Like every other day, you start meeting somebody's getting killed. It's like a burglary. Somebody's killing someone. Even with the copy of the shot.
No
reason. So.
Yeah.
Simple test. Just listen. I love the city. You know, I don't want to leave, but, you know, more and more you practically about up and leaving, going somewhere else.
What's over in Ireland watching?
No, for real. I just can't.
I don't even get my phone for the sound of it.
And I'm just so used to it. And I'm so used to it.
Well, here is an issue that I do have, because I think you sent it to us, Dre, about now they're about to do all year round school.
Yes.
Like, what's...
So what is your question about that? Are you wondering why? Or are you wondering what's the purpose of it? Are you a fan? Or are you not a fan?
I mean, I'm not a real fan of it, because let's be real. I mean... Okay, yeah, give parents to kick the kids out, but then they got to see them during the summertime. Then you got to rechange your plans. And, like, I would rather the school district keep the teachers that they got for, like, the school year and then hire those teachers that they can use for the summer.
Huh? So, like, what's the issue with it? You trying to say, like, is it from a – what kind of perspective are you coming from that you don't like it? That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I look at it the perspective like, okay, when I was in college, right. Of course, you know, college is way different than regular school. I can admit that. You know, you have more freedom and everything. But in the same given token, it's more like, okay, every child that I've known, even us when we were kids, we look forward to the summer. You know what I'm saying? And now there's like certain schools that are going to do the pilot program to actually really, you know, see if this actually is going to work. And to be honest,
but I see it from another side too. Like educational purposes, it can push the children to like knowledge that's well needed and get them to different goals much faster. As far as on that perspective, look at China. They have school all year round. I mean, and
yeah, that's China pushes their children to be honest with you. They're pushing their actual children to be better.
But it's working. But it's working on a lot of perspective. A lot of them come over there. They're already doctors and stuff like that. So that's what I'm saying. That like they doctors, lawyers. A lot of them come over and they whatever. So I'm talking about as far as like on the educational side and goal oriented. That could push a lot of people to be successful on that level. Like now socially, now people got to get, some people might have to get used to, because a lot of people used to fun and play all the time, but fun and play, where has that gotten us? Fun and play and vacationing all the time, where we lacking on educational purposes and a lot of structural needs that a lot of people need. So where has that gotten us in that field? So I look at it from two different ways. Yeah. It's like, all right, it's going to kill their summer, but fun and play is all we do. That's all we talk about. Fun and play.
But structure.
I agree.
My thing is structure starts in the home. Let's be honest. Structure starts in the home, because the first thing as a child you must learn is manners. That's the very first thing. That communication and trust. If you can't and teach love, your children love, those love, three love, yes, essential yes. things, for, okay. That let's put that in four. If you can't teach your children those four essential things, come on, man. Like, I agree with you. Like, yeah, fighting games is all.
Oh, no, I agree. I'm not saying it don't need that. But that, to me, that's supposed to be the foundational pieces. Then you go with as far as like where you're going to structure. And like I said, children in the beginning, it's like an arrow. It's like an arrow you shoot. And depending on what direction you shoot them in, it gives them a nice pathway to where they go. Now, if I shoot this arrow toward education and toward being high oriented things, they got a better chance of reaching it. But if I shoot them downward, then I'm not saying they're not going to get there, but it's going to be a fight to get there because I shot them down instead of shooting them up.
But then you also got to understand that most of these kids in today's
But that's the problem. That's where education come at. That's when you have to reteach these people. Yeah.
And that's to me, I think that's where the honest to goodness problem comes, because you said it when you talked about the purpose. Leadership. Leadership is the biggest thing when it comes to like trying to
right. Strive, so that, like, that, really that's motivate when I talk anybody. About doing these goals and different things, I'm talking about with that in place. Because with that all in place, it can't function like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking about this with that in place. And we need more leaders to step up. We need more leaders to come forth. So that structure, that's the only way we're going to save these children and kids and young adults and young men, is for people to step in that place and to guide them and to kind of show them love and to show them that, yeah, your dreams might be crushed in this area, but you still can reach a certain part of the your goals in this area. Because that's why I spoke on it last time. That's why a lot of the kids and children out there are angry and mad out there, because their goals and their dreams have been crushed. So now they out there, if your dreams and goals have been crushed, you feel like you ain't got nothing to live for. You don't care about this. You don't care about that. I surely don't care about nobody else if my stuff is messed up, and they come with that crab mentality. Now it's like, if I see somebody else with potential, now I'm mad at them just because they prosper.
Yep, that's agree. I agree. What say you, Dre?
So, here's a couple things. And if you know me, you know I'm really, really big on perspective. And we have to look at things within a certain perspective. So, right now, you know, we're so used to the way that things are, that when things change, we are resistant to it. Even if there's a possibility that change might benefit everyone. So let's look at it like this, okay? We've been so, and you know, like I will say, we've been groomed to be accustomed to the fact that the kids are going to go to school from September until June. And then they're off and doing nothing, you know, which I think that, you know, because of that, we patterned a whole entire life around that concept, that construct. So now they're bringing in year-round school, which means that now there isn't that three-month break, which actually, it might be good for kids that are not necessarily getting that education. There is a thing that is called summer slide, and we dealt with it in the library a lot, where kids, they will lose knowledge because they're not using it during the summer. And then they go back to school and they're behind. Everything that they learned, they didn't necessarily soak it in because they're not using it for a certain time. And I think the thing that bothers me is that most people are worried about the fact that, you know, now these kids are going to be in school year-round. You know, they might have to buy more clothes. They might actually have to pay more for babysitting. They might have to do other things that are insignificant to their kids' education. The other thing is that, you know, them being in school might keep them off the streets a little bit as well.
That's the biggest thing. That is the biggest thing right there. At the end of the day, let's face it, when Mayor Kenning was in office, he could not control. He put a curfew out there. Them kids out there was like, okay, who cares? But now that we got Sherelle Parker, who's a mom, and the mayor of this city, she's actually enforcing or telling the police to enforce curfews. If you don't, I mean, if parents, they're not, I mean, do most parents, I think, prepared to really, I don't think so, but guess what? If you want to cut down the violence, or you want to cut down kids getting killed or whatever, it's got, I mean, that's
but the I think thing that, I can say. You know, getting to, I will say, the meat of this argument, it's not the fact that, you know, it's an issue with 24/7, but year-round schooling, but it's inconveniencing parents. But instead of it being an inconvenience, you know, how about parents look at it as an opportunity, you know, that they could take more interest in their children, more interest in their education, and actually decide to change their routines so that they can fit year-round schooling into their lives.
I got one better. When my son Trayvon was in school, when he was going to Eastern University Charter School Academy, from I believe 7th grade up to maybe 11th grade year, no, it was 10th grade year. I'm sorry. They were going to school all year round. 3-week break, come right back. You know what I mean? They would go September to December, three week break like they're in college, from January to April, Easter break, from April to June, 3-week break, from June to August, 3-week break, and they're back into school in September. I mean, that I kind of understood because it was more like, okay, well, they're kind of incorporating the college format to it, and it actually did work because a lot of those kids that went to that school, some of them got really good jobs. Others don't. I mean, but again, it really pushed them for knowledge and education to get that and to strive because their principal was very, very stern about that. Like, hell, he actually was not going to graduate a whole graduating class because they did not get accepted to college. He made it mandatory. Everybody, every student in that class, in my son's class, had to be accepted to college or they wasn't going to graduate at all. So, and me being a parent that is very, very, very... I'm very good. I'm high on education because, you know, without education, you ain't got nothing. I mean, at the end of the day, if this gives the kids knowledge, because like you said, Andre, I came to visit you in the library when it was summer slide. You know what I mean? When them students, most of them students didn't know what they were, didn't remember. I mean, to me, let's give it a go and see how it happens. See what happens.
He said, give it a go, like it's John Stockton and Malone.
Hey, listen, you got to go. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, you never know the outcome until you actually put it to work.
Oh, true. I think it's worth a shot. And the reason, I mean, the thing that, I think the good thing is that they're only piloting it in 20 to 25 schools. So it does give it an opportunity to... See if it works. See if it doesn't. And then we'll move on. Yep. But you know, last time I remember, there was a guy who had an issue with these damn speed cameras. Yeah, I'm talking about you.
Talking about me? Oh, man. We're not going to have that conversation.
You said he had a problem with what?
What's your problem with speed cameras, man?
It ain't nothing spectacular.
Listen, I'm gonna be honest with you. Majority of the city don't really. If you really want me to be honest with you, speed cameras should be on Broad Street and. Because at the end of the day, let's face it, there was an accident that happened on Broad and Huntington Park by somebody speeding, and it. I mean, yo, the accident was ugly and it was fatal, and I truly agree. Yes, I ride a motorcycle. But I have to always keep in the back of my mind, I got kids to go home to. You know what I'm saying? I got a family to go home to. I got you to go home to. Not just saying, because at the end of the day, nobody got a phone call saying, hey, you know, my family member got killed. Now, don't get me wrong. That Sherelle Parker got a great idea. Yes. Do I think she's being a little upset about it? Yes. We're talking about up and down Broad Street. It's bad enough that majority of these neighborhoods got speed humps. I got one literally around the corner from my house. I'm like, I'm dead serious. They got speed humps. Like, you know, like it used to be, you can go straight up the street, no problem. Now you got to go, slow down, go over the hump. Go up another 20 feet, 20, 50 feet, slow down, go over another hump. And I mean, it's more, it's like 4 humps for every.
I'm be honest, like, I love 50 to 100 feet. I love, like, because people be zooming. I'm in a school zone now where I work at the school on 22nd Street. We just got approved for a lighting system and speed humps to be installed. They come down. It's a school zone. They come down there doing 60 miles an hour. And I'm talking about in the 2-lane. Yeah. So, I mean, and it's dangerous. We didn't have so many car accidents. So Like in my opinion, even about the like the speed cameras or even just cameras, and I don't see what's the deal even with people having an issue with it. Besides, someone might catch you doing something illegal, like something you ain't supposed to be doing. But a lot of people talking about, oh, they watching this, they using it to watching this. I'm like, if they wanted to watch us, they watch us through our phones. We already giving information through our phones every day, all day, every app we on. We giving them a personal algorithm of our own personal lives. So if they wanted to watch us, they watching us already now.
You say something once and it pops up in your Facebook page. Just like that.
Exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, after looking at it, after really doing my research about the speed cameras, after seeing that accident on Broad and Huntington Park, my heart went out to whoever got killed. You know what I'm saying? And then you got all these guys that's souping up their Chrysler 300s, their Dodge Chargers or the Dodge Challengers. Like, you souping them up for what? And then on top, like the other, like, I'm gonna be honest with you. A few weeks ago, me and a few friends was on the highway, and we just riding our motorcycles, and some cat with a Hellcat just came up on the side of us and tried to race us on the highway. Like, dude, do you see all these cars? And it's still like, it's like 6-7 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, it's still rush hour. Nobody's trying to run behind that. You know what I mean? Now, don't get me wrong. If it's like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, there's no car, I'm going to catch you and I'm going to leave you. I promise you. You can bet your bottom dollar on it. But during hours like this, I'm not that stupid. You know what I'm saying? I have to, because again, I've got to remember, who do I got to go home to?
There's a time and a place for everything. Exactly. There's a time and a place for everything.
Exactly. So therefore, like I told you, like when he pulled over, he was like, yeah, I want to meet y'all because, you know, I got this Hellcat and I know it's faster than a motorcycle. It's not the driver. It's not the car. It's the driver. And it's not the bike. It's the rider. And at the end of the day, we're like, okay, like you said, time and place for everything. If I see you at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, there's no cops per se. There's no real traffic on the highway. Let's run. I promise you won't run. But with that, I got people to go home to.
Well, on that note, this is where we were supposed to close. But there was something that we forgot, and I think that it's important. So we need to go back and we need to revisit it. Wow. Introduction.
I'm mad at the podcast.
Because, you know, we can't have this podcast, right? And no one knows who we are, what we do, or something about us. So let's start off.
End of the day.
At the end of the day ends. So,
you've already said our names. Certain people that's going to listen to it, they do listen. I'm sorry. People that's going to listen to the podcast, they want to know who we are.
That's an assumption. You can't make assumptions, young man. You have to understand that people are going to want to get to know us, you know, because of our distinct personalities, who we are, what we stand for, and the things that we say. So it's important for us to let them into who we are as people and why we say the things that we say. What I am going to do is that I'm going to let Frank start it off since he's the one that seems to not want to do an introduction.
I'm going to take your words from earlier. I can shoot you, okay? I'm just going to let you know. I can shoot you.
Yes.
But it is what it is. Okay, yes. Yes, I am Frank. I am from, I'm from Philadelphia. I was born and raised here. I was in the military for 11 years, traveled around, you know, traveled different places, traveled all around the world. What do I stand for? I really stand for justice. I really stand for truth. And, you know, I really stand for those
that fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe.
Best thing about me joining the military, I'm retired. And I'm good with that. So it's okay. But in the same given token, like, yes, I did defend my country. But the one, like, I know, like, in further episodes that we're going to have for this season, I'm definitely going to be talking about the VA because that's my pet peeve. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to leave that alone. You know, and veterans is definitely to my heart because I am a veteran. But in the same given token, like, you know, I thank God that, you know, I did serve my country and I was able to get something out of it. You know what I mean? I was able to get a trade. I was able to go to school. I was able to buy a house. I was, you know, I mean, I was able to know, to learn how to be a man and really, like, live in today's society. Because today's society changes so much. It's not even
worse. That is so true.
So everything that changed, because I was always taught, nothing changed. And I had to teach myself that everything changed. And look at society. Society has changed a lot.
All right, Dave, want to go next?
Yeah, so I'm Dave, David. I'm not Dave, I'm David. I'm David. But I don't know, I let certain people call me Dave. Sir, I don't know, only certain people can get away with that. But anyway, I'm David. I'm from North Philly, you know. Let me see, I ain't going to touch base on this, but a person who grew up, like, you know, I know everybody's story. They grew up, like, poor, but I grew up, like, below that. But anyway, but now I went to the status of, like, you know, like, father, you know, went to the church, elder, you know. And now I'm like, a fixer of things. I can fix basically, like, everything. I can build stuff. You know, I'm an artist. You know, I've been a book writer, you know. And I'm just, like, a regular, just down-to-earth brother, just trying to, you know, just make an impact in the community and somewhere along the way that we can help each other.
Okay. Well, Lord, Dan.
I'm from North Philly. I'm married to one wife. And I just like to have fun. Enjoy life, you know, just all that stuff. Right now, and I do have the bros